welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. And it is now or never as I continue to try to help motivate people to start getting involved. Let me just kind of give you a disclosure here. So I guess it's a blessing that the virus that I got, because I actually picked up a virus, and actually I didn't get it. It was brought home. And fortunately, this is not really a chest type of virus, like maybe COVID or something like that. Or if it is, it is not, fortunately, affecting my lungs too heavily. So that being said, I may sound a little different. I may be a little nasally or what have you. So forgive me. I'm trying to muscle through this. I've had it for, you know, about 4 days now. And so anyway, I'm hopefully on the upswing. It's been a pretty mild. I mean, usually when I get hit with a virus like a flu or something, it's, you know, it hits me hard, but you know, this has been a blessing that I have not been hit that hard. So I've been able to at least do a few things each day. But that being said, I have a few go backs, but let me kind of reemphasize a few things and let you know, we will be starting tomorrow. I'm going to dive into the Remonstrance on Religion. And then I'm going to include the Madison's Essay on Property. I think it's important that we kind of look up front on some principles. And that is he published this essay in 1792 after the ratification of the Constitution. But this paradigm was essential at that point in time as they looked at, you know, drawing up the Constitution and so forth. So I think it's really important that we, you know, you have at least that insights on how they viewed property. And they put this context to it that is well beyond us today. And so we need to really start looking at all our property as our property, but we have to understand first, what is our property? And as Madison says, your rights are your property. Just like you have property, you have rights in your property, you have property in your rights. And so we'll get into that little insightful part of that essay. Anyway, the important question I have is, what kind of content do you need? It looks like we'll probably be starting this either the second week or the third week. I think we've got everything in place, other than the fact that I need a couple of people to be prepared to, you know, to kind of man the phones type of thing. But with that, we may wait until probably the third week. And I only say that because most of the sessions kind of end by the second week, or most all of it's done by then. And so I have no idea what kind of dynamics is going to hit me. And I'll just tell you, over the weekend on Saturday, I got an email from a legislator in the state of Wyoming letting me know that they were going to be doing digital currency, which means that I need to send, and will be sending this week, a constitutional minutes on the digital currency. And as a matter of fact, there needs to be a nationwide appeal. If you know lawyers, if you know patriots who are lawyers, and I happen to know one in California, George Rombeck, and I'm probably going to call him to see if, you know, he can actually step into, you know, getting involved in maybe a nationwide class action lawsuit against every state that has passed these digital currency laws and call them out for violating. Any constitutional lawyer that is really looking to, you know, any young patriot lawyer that's looking to make a mark, I mean, this is easy pickings, because there is nothing clearer than how these states have directly violated the Constitution. So, as I told you, I have I think it's like 7 pages, all in bullet form with some citations, case history, and so forth. I have laid out this argument for digital currency, that bottom line, the states cannot pass a law that allows anything other than gold and silver coin to be the legal tender for the payment of debt. If they make a law, it can only be that. That's right there in Article 1, Section 10. And so the other thing is that every state that I've looked at, Wyoming, South Dakota, Montana, if a public servant, if a state legislator violates the Constitution or violates their oath by violating the Constitution, they're to be removed and banned. So in other words, you know, there I'm finding a few states actually have clauses that support Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. And unless you know that, unless you know how to hold those people accountable, you know, they're getting away with murder. You need to check your Constitution and just scrub it for oath. Look for oath. And if you find anywhere where they say if you violate your oath of office, that is tantamount to perjury, and you will be removed and banned from public service in this state. Actually, that would be that they should be banned for lifetime from public service, regardless of where they go. But see, the problem is the jurisdiction of the state only applies to themselves. They would need the federal government to actually say that these people, you know, mark them to say they cannot be public servants. And that's kind of interesting because, bottom line, that is something delegated in the U.S. Constitution. And what I mean by that is because it's in the Constitution, the federal government does have a role and responsibility to ensuring that those folks who have violated their oath and have been removed from a state, they actually should have, you know, like a blacklist, you know, like they have a travel, you know, list of people that can't fly, you know, do not allow to, you know, do anything like this. They should have something like that for public servants who violate their oath. And so anyway, let me ask you this. What kind of content do you need and what type of organizations are you working with? Because we definitely want to see you start appealing to the different party structures, the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, if they formally exist in your state, in your county, you need to make appeals to them. And as a matter of fact, when they have a meeting, 9 times out of 10, you should be able to walk in and have, you know, the ability to make an appeal to everybody. And so what we suggest doing, as you can hear, I have to take a break as soon as we have the because I've got a dog barking, if you can hear. That's somebody talking to me, telling me that they need to do something. So anyway, let me just explaining what you hear in the background. Anyway, we need to help you focus on building your organization. And the best way to do that, because many of the people in these organizations are like-minded, getting people that are like-minded to know what you're doing, you're going to find their interest in coming to you. And, you know, hey, this is kind of interesting. As we start looking, and we'll get into this, but as we start looking at what the whole world, there's an uprising in the world, but it is all for naught. Everybody that is out protesting is completely wasting their time. So we need to get people to stop doing that. And the best way to do that is find out who these organizations are that are, you know, causing these rallies and organizing these types of protests. Because if they're protesting, they're not holding government accountable. So anyway, as I usually forget to do this in the past few, several weeks now, we have our video out on YouTube, a video channel. It's called Reclaiming the Republic. If you would take a moment to go and check out our videos there, while you're there, make sure you subscribe so that you can get RSS feeds to be notified of, you know, any new videos that drop. We will be doing another county commissioner presentation in a couple of weeks. And when we get the Constitution lessons up there, then we will get that done. And so you'll actually get notifications every time we get these things done. So as we keep moving, you know, one step after another, we're making progress, folks. We are making progress. And as a matter of fact, I have to say this, and I'm dying to find out, because I've not talked to Paul Venable yet. He went up to Michigan to present to the Constitution Party in Michigan at their convention if they were aware or if they understood this campaign on the Constitution by using First Amendment petitions and actually getting First Amendment petitions to start using those to growing the organization and creating the true resistance in the state of Michigan. So he's kind of going up there, and my hat's off to him that he's actually traveling because of his involvement with the Constitution Party. You know, he's actually out there in front selling and helping people understand the power of the First Amendment petition, of petitioning government for the redress of grievances. So anyway, so I've got less than a minute left, but what we're going to do is, like I said, I've got a couple of go-backs, and one of the go-backs is this digital currency, because, like I said, I got noticed a notification on this bill in Wyoming. Folks, you need to find out if your state has passed a bill or is considering this digital currency bill. The way it looks like the Agenda 2030 lobbyists, these globalist lobbyists who have they have access to all state legislatures, and they're basically walking in with this 100-plus-page bill asking everybody to sign this and actually pass this bill so that what they can do is, in a blink of an eye, move us to a digital cashless society. And this is the setup for this, because the next economic catastrophe, this will be forced upon us. So anyway, we will be right back after this promo. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we in addition to this, as I think I mentioned, that we hopefully will have a petition coming regarding the digital currency, regarding, you know, the fact that no state actually has a law demanding gold and silver coin be the legal tender, because that's what they're supposed to have. They can't create any law other than that. But the fact is, because no state has made laws to allow only gold and silver coin to be the payment of the legal tender of debt, had they been applying that, had they actually had that law, the federal government, FDR, would never have been able to get off of the gold standard, and we would never have had, you know, this, what we call a digital currency already, because bottom line, the Federal Reserve has been basically creating on the ledger you know, creating money that they don't have any authority. The fact that we even have a Federal Reserve is unconstitutional, folks. So if we're going to save our liberties, we have to save this republic. That is it. It's not about all of these myopic issues. I can't tell you how frustrating it is for somebody to actually see, you know, all of these different movements. I don't care if it's the Second Amendment movement, if it is the CRT movement, the invasion movement. These are all symptoms from the same problem. The federal government is violating the Constitution. It's that easy. And so, you know, as I look at these people saying, oh, well, at least we have our Second Amendment rights, or, well, at least we're making progress on, you know, shutting down, you know, the CRT or whatever, or the, you know, stopping the invasion. Well, they're not even stopping the invasion, but people are trying. And there's lots of people wasting money on all of these efforts. Oh, but, you know, at least we're doing something good. While they're turning their back completely on the rest of the Constitution, allowing all the other problems to exist. It's that. I mean, it's that simple. People get so caught up on the one thing that, you know, they just think, oh, well, this is it. You know, I'm sorry. As a matter of fact, on social media, I poked these guys in Georgia. I think the guy, the founder of it, is D.A. King, but it doesn't matter. It's an organization that is trying to bring awareness and stopping the invasion on the southern border. You know, and most people say, well, we applaud them for doing that. But what they've done is they've created an organization. See, that they're myopic. That's all they're doing. That's all they, because they found their little niche, and because in Georgia, illegal immigration and the invaders that are in Georgia at this point in time is really, you know, causing, you know, an awareness to come up. And all they're doing is capitalizing. They're not going to stop the invasion. And the fact is what they're doing is they're getting people to come into their little lobby and turn their backs on the rest of the Constitution. Because any money and any effort that is given to this group will not save the Constitution. It's the same thing with any effort, you know, or any money being given to all of these different groups. That's including the John Birch Society. That's including Eagle Forum, because none of them are actually uniting on the Constitution. The National Liberty Alliance is. I believe the We the People Foundation. Every time I talk to Bob, it seems like we're heading in that direction. I still need to talk to Bob. And there are other organizations that are. The problem is that they're just, either they're lacking the coverage or they're lacking the, you know, the appeal or what have you. I don't know. But bottom line, folks, we have to unite on the Constitution if we're going to save our liberty. These little token gestures and efforts are it's absolutely, absolutely, it benefits us in no way at all. It's the same thing with all of the folks that are taking their kids out of school. Yeah, you're saving your child, but that doesn't stop us from falling off the, I mean, come on. If we fall off the ledge, then it's it. It's over. And so, well, at least you did your job, right? By, you know, making sure that your kids are aware enough to know that it's all over, that they could have done a lot more. And you all need to do a lot more. We all need to do a lot more. The whole world is really counting on America. That's why Trevor Lawton came to America. That's why Trevor Lawton is so heavily engaged in all he's trying to do is educate people on how communism has infiltrated so many different organizations, from the churches to the to our education system, to the government itself. I mean, he's a hard-hitting investigative reporter, and he's got some really good products out there that help you understand how far we've gone along. And when you start looking at it, that's why he's one of the biggest advocates. I mean, he actually wrote in Epoch Times, and actually I probably need to find the article again and actually maybe put that link, because I know people have asked me about that. I should probably put that on Reclaiming the Republic, so you could actually read the article where he talks about Republic Review. Now, in some references, he's not really talking, you know, he doesn't understand Republic Review to the details, but he does understand that it is a thorough process that will get this nation on the path of healing itself. So, anyway, I guess the reverse side of this is, where would America be if we were educated and focused on the American innovation of republicanism, instead of being taught the self-centered democracy, we can get what we want as long as we vote these people in? Where would we be? We wouldn't be anywhere near this path. And this is really, to me, this is the indictment that America has become so carnal. I mean, because getting people engaged in the solution it's not impossible. But man, it is so hard, because there's so many people that would rather have revenge. There's way too many people that want to get the orange guy back in, so, you know, this time he'll get... Yeah, you know, I can't remember how much crap I heard from, you know, all of these different conservative, the Q Watch, or, you know, the Q Analysis. Remember Q? Oh, and how Donald Trump is doing all of these things and all of these unsealed indictments. And boy, people, you know, watch, it's happening this weekend. And it didn't happen. I mean, it almost reminds me of who was it? Claimed to be, or people claimed he was a prophet, Moon or something like that, in Oregon, and, you know, all of these false prophets. You know, the Bible warns us of these things. I mean, if you really look at where we are today, this is where we are. And believe you me, I'm not a prophet. I don't even want to consider myself a prophet. I am here trying to do his work with you, that we need to preserve liberty if we are to be saved. And he will do everything he can to help us if we do those things, if we put aside our differences and are willing to actually work together in saving liberty. So one of the things that I find is interesting, because as I'm going through some topics, I want to kind of cover at a high level. I find it interesting that more and more actors are actually speaking out about deep fakes. So if you don't know what a deep fake is where they can use computers to actually manufacture something that, you know, as you're talking, as you're doing something, I forget who the actor was, but maybe it was Keanu Reeves or something like that. But this actor was actually speaking out about deep fakes, and this is a travesty to the profession, because he noticed when he was watching a movie that, you know, he was in, he noticed that when the cameras kind of zoomed in on his face, and a tear was going down his cheek. And he goes, that didn't happen. I never cried. How did they do that? And that's a deep fake. Now, if they're doing that to be manipulative in movies, to kind of change or add a different context to a scene you're watching, they're doing that to other things. And as a matter of fact, the term deep fakes, I think, is going to become the reality, because we're already aware that if they have enough of your voice print, they can actually manufacture a script the computer actually has you saying exactly what they want you to say to incriminate you, even though you didn't say it. Folks, we've turned that corner. And this is all a part of, you know, technology and artificial intelligence. And, you know, if you want to know what the progressives and the globalists have in store, all you've got to do is look at everything that they have positive accolades for. In other words, they're selling you artificial intelligence. They're selling you. And I mean, this is becoming huge. Who do you think is driving the artificial intelligence? The Alphabet Company, Google, you know, big tech? That's right. So when we look at who's really behind all of this, you know, the big players, you know, aren't just Soros. It's big tech. And so if you really look at how we are so susceptible in manipulation and everything else, anybody that watches TV, anybody that watches Fox News, anybody that watches any of these news stations, you know, you're better off actually just going on the internet and looking at the top stories of, you know, OANN or, you know, any your favorite. But don't forget to look at what the progressives on Bing, Google, or what have you, the news that they're actually promulgating. You need to keep an eye on them because that's the enemy. Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
And as a matter of fact, let me just kind of add to this, because we're talking about, you know, what the progressives are selling. You know, the CIA, if you look at some of the news today, the CIA is out, they're being referenced as the source that is confirming that China is providing lethal aid to Russia. Now, you know, how would anybody know that if it's actionable intelligence? Why is that not being protected? Why is that, you know, how is it that they're becoming a spokesperson or they're becoming a, and this is the reality here, folks. The CIA is a source of information for the progressive media. Now, we all know, and I've been telling you, that China is the biggest provocateur in the world. And as a matter of fact, you know, Xi is over the next couple of years, the whole world will be kneeling in China's, you know, in their halls of, you know, power and so forth. I mean, Marcon is going there currently to basically try to get China to pressure Russia like they have this power. You know, the only reason the United States is being laughed at is because of the idiot in the White House. And everybody knows that the United States is absolutely impotent with that idiot as the puppeteer for the Chinese Communist Party. So, folks, I can't tell you how bad things really are. Everything in every direction, as I look at it, really stinks. You know, it's just a matter of time before I actually say, you know what, hand me the bags and the shovel. I'm going to start filling up sandbags, and we'll just put this huge revetment around our house, and we'll have, you know, as much reinforcement and security as we possibly can to keep the, you know, what crap is happening around the world out of our, you know, influencing us and affecting us. Folks, you got to start making the decision. It's now or never. I can't emphasize this enough. They're doing all the marketing for what we need to do. The problem is that nobody is connecting the dots and saying, boy, it is now or never. Now, as we see, and I kind of mentioned this in the front monologue, that we're seeing protests. I mean, the whole world is starting to rise up. The places we're not seeing the protests are in the areas that are currently being controlled. And the reason why they're being controlled is because these people, remember, when people have no hope, they go along. They realize that, you know, there's nothing they can do. And so everybody, you know, nobody trusts anybody. That is the world that is in China today. You want to see that change? Get the President of the United States to invite Taiwan and Hong Kong to become territories of the United States as we put them on the path of becoming states in the Union. And kicking the proverbial UN out of and off of American soil, and we step out of it, and we actually start getting our act together. I know that China is doing everything it can to create a military, but I do know that China has yet to be proven. And regardless of how formidable, just like Saddam Hussein, you know, regardless of how formidable, you know, his royal guard and all of these things, you know, how everybody created this paradigm that, you know, these guys are the greatest. They all fall when it comes to liberty. And when we get the world to actually stand up, because I'm telling you, folks, if all of a sudden we actually started having it out with China and we took it to them, the people in China would then have an opportunity to revolt again. And they will, especially if we take it to them by offering a territory status. Some of the things that you're going to see that will probably happen within the next year before Biden leaves office is China will go into Taiwan and seize control. It has to happen before the end of, because they have to exert that force before the changing of the guard in America. Because even though they're pretty sure they have controls, there are the, you know, those tangibles that they may have no other, you know, options or no controls over. More and more people are trying to take the elections back. If we actually, you know, Dr. Frank is going around making a lot of money, telling everybody what we got to do, but it doesn't seem like it's happening, you know, which means it's more money for Dr. Frank to go around and tell people what you got to do regarding your elections. Folks, we have to really start focusing on what we need to be doing. And actually, if you really want to make the difference in the elections, you have to actually start taking over your local elections by coming up with candidates. It doesn't matter, because if you don't have the right candidates to challenge these folks, even if you did, even if you took back your election and you had good election integrity, you still got the same bums that are running for office. You have to start now in calling them out by using petitions and then coming forth with an actual candidate. If you're not doing that, then it's all done anyway. It's all for naught. And then as soon as they can, they will create the corrupt system again with all the protections and the next boss that comes along that's as equally corrupt. And that's what will happen. And they'll have a pandemic to do it again. This, we're being played every step of the way. And it's infuriating me to see how people aren't doing the necessary steps, because when you boil it all down, folks, you have to have people ready to challenge. And the best people to challenge would be those champions. Those champions bringing forth these First Amendment petitions, calling upon these folks to actually stand up and become champions of the Constitution. And if they refuse to do that, then the obvious choice for the people is to elect the champion. But you have to create this movement. You have to make this as a movement in your county. You have to make this movement in your legislative district so that everybody in your local vicinity, for your legislative district as well as your county. So you need to start crossing county boundaries and working together. You need to grow this movement in the next year and a half to get enough pressure on these folks, these people in the state legislature and the people in your county office. I know it's a tall order, but act on faith. It may be a tall order, but it is the only way, because it doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it does not matter if you actually take the system back and you have a legitimate, outcome and, a good voter integrity and the election system finally works. If you have the same bums, they're going to keep doing the same crap. You have to do a wholesale replacement. You got to vote these bums out. It's, I can't emphasize enough how important that is. So anyway, as I kind of look in the news and as I kind of overseeing this whole charade, because this all started, remember Bosnia-Herzegovina? Remember the migration of Muslims that were going into Bosnia and Kosovo and so forth? And supposedly this ethnic cleansing that was occurring, when actually the globalists, really what they did was they destabilized Bosnia. They destabilized that whole area by opening the doors and allowing Muslims to actually permeate and go in and actually start taking over their government. Well, it didn't happen that way. But what ended up happening was the United States with Bill Clinton ended up entering into, the area along with the UN over what they called ethnic cleansing, because supposedly they were killing all these people off. The fact is, as a matter of fact, FederatedAmericanScientists.org actually documented the fact that there were really no mass graves that everybody was talking about. They may have had different angles of the same large grave area, but the amount of people that were being claimed to be killed, that wasn't happening. And as a matter of fact, I remember a lot of very specific things, and I just want to get into the details, but bottom line, we were all played. And what they were doing was they were legitimizing a migration of Muslims that were going to destabilize that part of Europe. And as a matter of fact, as they got into Bosnia, this was using this the Euro or the EU, the economic union, in allowing the travel of anybody from one state to the next. And so as this whole destabilizing of Europe began in the 90s, they're playing this game everywhere, like right here on our southern border. And this is their strategy. We'll be right back after this promo.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so bottom line, this whole, because we're seeing this continuance, even in Europe. As a matter of fact, it was just recently, there was about 50-some kids that were killed in this migration ship of taking these, I believe, Northern African folks across the Gulf, across the Mediterranean into Italy. And because of a storm, they were, you know, basically shipwrecked or what have you, and there were all of these kids that died. Now, it's a travesty that these things are happening, that these kids, these human beings, are being used as pawns. You know, and saying, oh, well, we've got to do better. We have to allow safe transit for everybody. Are you kidding me? We're the rule of law, and the globalists are trying to make it seem like our laws are unjust because their agenda is very specific. They want to destabilize all the countries and force us down their hopper. Soros, Gates, the rest of the globalists, they're out there, the Rothschilds, or all of these different families, and the rich elite, along with big tech and communist regime leaders, are behind this global migration, and they all need to be held accountable for the deaths of those who are dying in their little game, and the global turmoil that they're causing. We cannot allow this paradigm to continue, because if you look at it, it's always, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. If it, you know, if it breaks a heart when little kids die, and this is, I mean, they're using these folks because they don't care about these lives. They're trying to make you feel bad if you don't. And it's unfortunate that we have that many people that are willing to actually play these types of games that are literally out there. And, oh, by the way, in the first segment, because you might hear the dog barking again, there was no bulldogs harmed during that break. Anyway, no, this is our youngest bulldog, and she's learning to use her voice, and so she's coming around and she's learning to, you know, hey, pay attention to me, come out here, because what she wanted was something to eat, and it's not like she was starving. She's very well fed, but anyhow, we can't allow these folks to get away with this. And as a matter of fact, I believe that you need to start making laws in your state, or actually, there's no reason why states can't actually put out bench warrants for these folks. If Bill Gates comes into your state, he's to immediately be arrested and tried for, you know, all of his crimes. I mean, he should be held accountable for what he's doing. But see, the problem is that we don't have jurisdiction over the crimes he's committed in Africa and around the world. But we do have jurisdiction over the Constitution, and we can hold anybody that is violating the Constitution as an insurgent. And so we can hold him for that, and we can actually, you know, go down this path. The problem is, at this point in time, that I don't think we'll ever see the federal government, maybe Trump, because everybody wants their pound of flesh. But until the day comes when nations, not just the states, but nations all stand up and go, these people are committing crimes against humanity. I think more and more people know it, but because they control the heads of states, this only goes back to my premise. We have to get these bums out and actually have people running and saying it's time to start holding these people accountable, holding them accountable to the rule of law, especially the rule of law right here in the United States, because we happen to be a nation based upon the rule of law. Now, here's an interesting thing. You know, I've always been a critic of many of these hardcore leftist Hollywood movie stars. And, you know, every once in a while you get these guys like Jim Carrey that actually start standing up on these principles of, you know, what was it that Jim Carrey was doing? I think it was Alzheimer's and vaccines and so forth. And so he became an anti-vax person. Well, now, interestingly enough, because how many people remember watching Saturday Night Live with Dan Aykroyd and Jim Belushi? I do. And I remember, you know, the old days in the 70s of Saturday Night Live. And as things started getting really liberal and going in the wrong direction during the 80s, I just stopped watching. And so, you know, it became the, you know, the group hug of progressives. And one of the big progressives that was out there, who was really anti-Trump and all this other stuff, was Woody Harrelson. If you didn't hear this over the weekend, Woody Harrelson actually went on a anti-vax rant in his Saturday Night Live, live from New York at Saturday Night Live, you know, in his little monologue. And everybody's going, yikes. Because this is the fifth time. He's the five-timer club, right? He is the fifth time he was the guest host. And I just find it funny because, you know, some of these guys are real loose cannons. And Woody, it just takes a change in somebody's paradigm to be able to actually start looking at things from a different light. And the next thing you know, they actually start, you know, calling out like the vaccines and so forth. And so as he went down this path, well, what is the mainstream media saying? Well, oh, this was an anti-vax conspiracy rant, you know, and, you know, Woody Harrelson must be losing his, you know, losing what we'll say his decorum and his credibility at this point in time is definitely to be questioned. Well, bottom line, I honestly think that, you know, it only takes what we would say as a pause for somebody to kind of start looking and questioning things. So this may be the step in the right direction. You know, people like Sean Penn are just really out there, you know, absolutely crazy. But who knows? Woody Harrelson may actually, you know, be coming to an epiphany of going, you know what? I can't believe this stuff anymore. This died suddenly is really too real. Now, I'm not sure if he's taken a vaccine, but I'm pretty sure he's not taking any more. And I'm pretty sure he's starting to realize what, you know, Big Pharma is doing. You know, when we talk about big tech, Big Pharma is big tech. It's a different form of tech. It's not necessarily technology of computers, artificial intelligence, but it is, you know, the same thing. It's computer engineering of genomes and designing and changing, because this is what they're trying to do. They're actually trying to change our DNA or our makeup, because that's what gene editing does. And you can't tell me that's not big tech. when you actually start playing with genetic engineering and using mRNA to actually help start changing, because, you know, this noble idea of being able to change the human DNA so that we're less susceptible to viruses, you know, I think the Lord did a great job in the design of the human being and the immune system and everything else. We don't need science to actually start making changes to us, but they're all doing it for reasons. And I'm telling you, folks, none of the reasons are good. None are good. So, again, as I've been saying this, if you want to, you know what to be wary of, when they start actually blazing people, and what do you call that, gaslighting? When they start going after people for taking a stand against what they are selling as the norm and how they basically scorch earth you, I am here to tell you that that's only evidence that you cannot trust these folks. Now, interestingly enough, we have everybody else that's the controlled opposition. There's way too many people out there that'll give you information, but they're not interested in helping solve the problem. This is the golden goose theory I have, because they're all making big bucks and they're being controlled by staying within the very specific boundaries of not pursuing solutions, only educating and highlighting and using grievances as to how bad things are to get you infuriated, but not engaged in the solution. That's what controlled opposition is designed to do. And there are so many different organizations. And I look at these organizations that are all chartered to actually stay, you know, within a very confined boundary where they're not allowed to actually get engaged with another group and their solution and, you know, create a symbiotic relationship. When a group is chartered to actually stay on a very specific path, they lose their funding if they actually wander off that path. Tactical Civics is one of those organizations. I believe the John Birch Society is one of those. I only know Tactical Civics because that's what I was told by the founder. And the fact of the matter is, folks, that's not an outlier. I truly believe that when you look at, you know, all of these other news agencies, the only reason that they may be getting deplatformed is because they're starting to wander outside those lines. But you have to question, how far are they willing to go? How far are they willing to go? Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm still in a position where I don't think that enough people understand Republic Review. I don't think enough people understand these First Amendment rights and petitions. I don't think there's enough people that really understand where we need to go and what we need to do. Would any of these news agencies, because, you know, I've been told, you know, GR, if we can only get you on these shows, well, get me on these shows. I'll talk about this stuff. I'll be happy to talk about this stuff. But the fact is, they're, you know, I'm not getting on these shows. So anyway, that doesn't mean that we can't continue doing what we need to do. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we will be back tomorrow with Madison's Remonstrance on Religion.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.